Ok, da siste sesjon. Da vil jeg se på Malicious Insider. Oh, ok. Last session, I'll see for the threat of malicious insiders and also very briefly indicate you how we have simulated a real case of a slide in Norway. Oh, the projector is not working. Okay. What happened? Why did that disappear? That's strange. Did I did I cancel that myself? There it comes. Okay, we'll look at the malicious insiders and a question of managing an emergency. So, that's an area where I started working in cooperation with the center at Carnegie Mellon with CERT and Software Engineering Institute. And we had several workshops of system dynamics modeling that involved also the University at Albany, Sandia National Laboratories, and also some European universities. So what is an insider attack? There are different definitions. Schultz and Shumway, they say that it is occurs when some person intentionally misuses computer systems. They are authorized to use them, but they misuse them for some tasks that are not allowed to. So they abuse of the trust that they have from the organization. Another definition, well-known definition by Investor, is an internal attacker is somebody who's entrusted with authorized access, but instead of doing what he or she is supposed to do, manipulates the system so as to either gain some advantages or to cause some damage. And the references I give here. The experience shows that malicious insider attacks, they are not so frequent like external attacks, but in terms of the damage, they are large. Some people claim that the cost of the insider's attacks is about the same as the cost of the outsider attacks. The damages can include not only economic things, aspects, but it can damage the reputation, and damage to the reputation, of course, translates also to economic costs sooner or later. They can lead to problems in the employee morale. They can cause distrust, and so on. Insider problems are by nature very difficult, because they occur within the organization and by people who are trusted. So it's difficult to predict if this will happen. It's difficult to protect. If you want to protect, then you have to make it difficult for your employees, and that indicates distrust. Because of this, very often the management is not prepared to take action. So that leads to a kind of a paralysis or inaction. In addition comes that management do not perceive the risk that comes from the insider. By not looking at it, not investigating it, by not measuring it, they don't perceive it. Because of that, they underestimate the threat, or they can underestimate it. They can also be that they are simply not aware that they have, nevertheless, that there are methods, tools and techniques that can be used. What experience shows is that even if organization disregard insider attacks and consider outside attacks more dangerous, the rate of success of insider attacks is higher. So even if they occur less often, they are succeed more often because they have privileges of access. And also they can lead to greater costs to organizations. Among the things done on aspects that can lead to insider attacks is some employees, they are kind of very good or perform very good, or they gain a lot of trust, they can get a lot of liberties, and some of them can be used turn around against the organization if the people are actually unworthy of this trust and freedom. The other thing is that within the organizations there is little awareness of insider threat, and therefore indications that something might be occurring are often not seen, they are ignored. In addition, there are organizations that do not follow best practice. For instance, they don't do a good screening before the employee people, they don't monitor the performance of the employees. Or sometimes, because insiders can be people who have personal problems, organizations fail to help those employees that have personal problems, and in the end that can cause frustration and revenge in terms of the people affected. Part of it can be not having a culture of educating the employees on the worth for the company, or not informing about the consequence of violations. Sometimes organizations prefer not to prosecute insiders because they fear that this can become public and cause damage to the reputation. So there is a lot of unknown things occurring, unreported, ignored, suppressed, and so on. And as I said this morning, when we had a study, a master thesis on study on insiders, we discovered that there was very little response from the organizations in Norway. Only about 10% responded to our request, and those who responded and say yes, we will help you, turn out that what they say is we have no problem with insiders. So that was a very curious thesis where we actually had very little data, and we were actually not expecting such situation. But that's one of the risks of thesis, that you can define a problem to be investigated, and then when you depend on organizations to help you, they can fail to do. There is a model which is very generic on insider attack. It's known as the CMO model, where the C stands for capability, M stands for motive, and O stands for opportunity. So this model says simply that the insider that will conduct an attack, the perpetrator, first of all must have the capability to commit the attack. If he lacks this capability, then an attack will not occur. Second, some motive, whether it is gain or, as it has happened very often, revenge. And finally, there should be an opportunity to commit the attack. So even if you can't commit the attack, you have the capability, and you want to do that, you have the motive. If there is no opportunity, if the security is high, then the attack doesn't occur. What is interesting is that studies show that before insiders attack, at least those that are acting out of some revenge, whether it is to cause harm or to steal assets, before they do that, they behave unsocially and undesirably. So that's one of the things that organizations should know, because that allows them to detect the signs and react. These markers of behavior, they are called precursors. They are indicators that something may be wrong. So that helps organizations to prepare for that. Einwechter suggested that one should develop intrusion detection systems to detect insider attacks. And he proposed a combination of network intrusion detection systems, network node intrusion detection systems, host-based intrusion detection systems, detection systems that would detect anomalies, things that were strange and so on, and then distributed intrusion detection systems. this is more difficult to realize in practice. So as far as I know, there is no such solution yet. Schulz proposed a different approach based on many indicators that seems to be related to insiders. They are detecting for markers and precursors, for errors that occur when people are preparing the attack that would allow them to detect that, of behavior that would indicate that something is being prepared, correlations between using parts of the system for purposes that will be unusual so that they could be directed at attacks, expressions, things that people say, or even traits of a personality. And again, this is an interesting proposition, but so far there are not solutions at hand and models like this. So there is plenty of space here for good master thesis and good PhD thesis, Steiner, if you like. An ongoing study that began in 2004 but still is going on at CERT. CERT Coordination Center is the first CERT that later expanded the services in Carnegie Mellon. So they do more than just a CERT. And I was involved in that project myself in over several years. And I still have relations to the insider threat community in Carnegie Mellon. They have released studies of insider threat. The first two were on banking and finance sector, and in critical infrastructure sectors. More studies have been coming around, and if you are interested, you can look at the web page. Let's have a look at it here. We had that page a moment ago. If we look at the insider threat, so you can see the last study published in the 3rd of February related to cloud computing. Then you have, yes, you have a number of new publications and so on. So if you are interested in insider threat, the page of CERT has a lot of new and interesting information. The main findings from these studies is that many incidents of insider attacks were done with little technical tools. So it was easy to commit attacks without much help, simply because everything was vulnerable. Then they were not just impulse things that happened based on some impulsive decision. They were well planned. In most cases, in the banking and finance sector, there was financial gain behind, but one couldn't find a common personality profile. Also, the incidents, they had different kinds of indicators, so they were discovered by different methods and different people. There were not so many commonalities. They caused a lot of financial loss, and typically the perpetrator did these acts while they were working, rather than doing that remotely from some facility, although it was possible for them. In some cases they did, but it was more rarely. In critical infrastructure sector, there was a different finding. Very often, the attacks related to some bad experiences, negative work-related events. Before that, the insiders, most of them, had been detected as problem persons. And they did plan their activities well in advance. The majority of these insiders, they had system administrator or privileged access when they were hired, but they had lost many of them this privileged access. Still, they were able to perpetrate the attack because they had so intimate knowledge of the system. But still, they didn't need very sophisticated methods in most of the cases, although some did. The way they attack was very often to open backdoor accounts or use shared accounts. In most of the attacks, they use remote access, not on the job, but from outside. And it was irregularities that allowed them the detection of the insider attacks. The consequences of these insider activities were big financial losses, and negative impacts on business operations, and also damage of reputation. And that's it. But as I said, if you are interested, there is a lot of information on insider threat in ARC, and if you look for my name here, I'm sure you still find some information of what we did together. Let's see. Well, there are so many. Yes, here you see me. At that time, I was at the Agder University College. It was before it was the university. So you can see here in CERT work that we did together. And here, this paper that we had with David Anderson, you see me, and so on. So there are a number of papers related to the work on insider threat that we did there. Any questions? So if you are interested, this is, as I said, more information. Okay, then last topic. Let me see if I have it here. No, perhaps I can go to the Okay. This. Didn't I present this already last time, Steiner? Didn't I present this slide already? Didn't I this of the Hartleser slide? I am now a little bit unsure. You remember this? I am now a little bit confused as to whether I did already present that. Okay, I can take it again very briefly. So, the Hartleser slide happened in Barrow of the city of Bergen in 2005. And it was a very big event, and as a consequence, this was very well studied. And I had a project where we modeled this, Geir and Jon Einer. They were master studies in Grimstad, and they liked very much this dynamics modeling, so I gave them the task of modeling this. And so I will tell you a little bit about the slide, why we were interested in that, and what we learned from that. So this happens the 14th of September of 2005, and it was actually one outlier of the Katrina. We had this? But did I present these slides? I am confused now. Okay. Well, if I did that, then we don't need to do it once more. So, what I can do, I think what I said is that I had a new paper and I will share that as soon as as it was published. But this is this paper, I haven't yet got the acceptance for the conference. So let me see conference System Dynamics 2014. Yes, it is this one. So what I can do is, yes, first of all, also what we have done recently is that we have worked together with the responders of the crisis, and these are their reference behavior for different things. So for instance, the workload they had during the emergency, they draw that by hand. And there were four different teams, so they had different expectations. The stress, the cognitive workload, the amount of improvisations that they had to do. And because we were working with people, and there were different teams, so they had different sketches of what they did. Also, the fact that this was done in 2014, 9 years after the actual emergency. So that you found it, yes, you had this. Okay. Yes. So I think what I am going to do is I will share this paper with you as soon as it is published, because that is much more detailed and it has some new insights. We have a very simple system dynamic model that contains, first of all, the performance adjustment, adjusting to the situation in the disaster. Then the reinforcing loop that causes errors because one has information overload. Another reinforcing loop that causes mistakes and errors because the different persons in the team are acting separately. But then the error correction of learning. And we have a system dynamic model that we created, and simulations that we compared with the with the reference behavior load and so on. But as at the moment, I cannot share that with you yet because it is in review in a conference, and we don't know if it is accepted. But the moment it is accepted, I can share that. Okay, but then I think we finish for today. Any final questions? Any comments? No? But what we can do now is have a look at the web page again in front of. I put here, let me make it a bit bigger, zoom, 150. In today's one, you see here the slides debriefing the first examination project. And that are the slides that I showed a moment ago. This one. With the archetypes, the comments for the findings, the system dynamics model, first the first loop, the intended loop, the simulation for that, then the extension with the overwork investigations, and then finally adding the solution loop, where I perhaps should also put the loop here, but I haven't done it yet, I will. And the simulation. So all this is in place there, and I recommend that you study that. And then the Venzin models. If you click on the Venzin models, you get three models in a zip file. And I recommend that you call the run. They run models different, so that you can compare the different runs. So, just as a review, in the first model, I call the run intended feedback loop. In the second, I call the loop, the run that I use, intended and unintended loops. And in the third, I call it intended, unintended, and solution loop. And this is far too small, so perhaps I should upload it again, because this view simply, yes, there you can see the simulations. And there you can see how adding resources works. In their model with overwork investigators, the capacity is fixed, but here one can add. And it turns out that the desired number of investigators is nearly 40, and that accounts for this improvement here. So I recommend you to do this, use the Venzin models and explore that. Okay? Okay. They are relatively simple models. And here, let me see, this should be a balancing loop that goes incidence plus, but this should be minus, plus. Yes, that must be a balancing loop. That must be a balancing loop, and let me see, how do we call it? Resources to alleviate workload, so we can put it down. B2, allocate resources, I can call it. So you have in principle all this. And I don't think there are so difficult things here. Most of the equations are simple, the kind of equations that you have seen before. The clue is in that the investigation quality here, this function, this is computed by the incident investigation quality table. And the input is the quotient between the incident investigation rate to the incident investigation capacity. That's the clue. Strange. Benzene is a strange system. Okay, but then I thank everybody for the interest. Steiner, by being the most interested physically. So I hope you have some use of this. There will be a final project. And if you are interested in master thesis, so contact me. I have a number of ideas of things that we could do related to security management. And by planning early in the autumn, it should be possible to get a nice project started. Okay? Take care, everybody. Good luck.